Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Phyllis D. Signal Reed, and our guest this week, Catherine MacDonald, poet, fiction writer, essayist, and teacher. Catherine, your most recent collection of poetry has a working title, Blue, Azul, Blue, The Color of Distance. Can you comment on this title?
Building on what I had said in the previous discussion, I do a lot of traveling. Blue, B-L-U-U, is Swahili for the color blue. Azul is Spanish. And blue, of course, English, the color of distance. And I've taken that from Rebecca Solnit in a book called A Field Guide to Getting Lost. Rebecca Solnit has said, blue is the color of longing for the distances you never arrive in. And that's the way I've begun to feel about life and writing both. You never quite arrive, or as soon as you do, you're off on another journey. So it seemed to me to fit very neatly into what I wanted to do in this particular collection.
And the three languages, Swahili, Spanish, English, do those reflect your particular journeys?
Yes, they do. After the death that was mentioned previously, I was invited to go to Kenya with friends. As it turned out, they couldn't go, and in the end I went alone and spent a month in a home with Kenyans. And so I had to learn a little bit of Swahili. Had a wonderful, wonderful month with these people. And in the first part of the manuscript, it really is a tribute to Paul Kioko, who himself had suffered a loss and was in a process of grieving, even though it had perhaps, I believe it was 15 years before that his wife had died. So he was very open about that relationship and that loss, and he had since remarried and spoke to me quite frankly about those experiences. So that's where the blue in Swahili comes from.
Now, the first part of the book is called Cure for Love, Flight, and is one long poem. Please tell us what the poem is about and why you chose to tell the story as a poem rather than a memoir or essay or anything else.
Okay, I've just mentioned quite a bit of what that poem is about. But why I started out writing memoir, actually. I started out in prose. I had published the prose previously. Prose was what I naturally turned to. But what I discovered was the book sat on the edge of magic realism in places. It was also deeply emotional. And I wanted that emotion to come through, which I had difficulty expressing in prose. It just wouldn't work that way for me. And after about 4 years, I just put it aside and didn't work on it at all. And then I began waking up in the night dreaming phrases. And
what a gift.
Well, it was after 4 years of work and 1 year of sort of nesting somewhere. And I began writing the phrases down. And when I sat down to work on the manuscript again, I did it in poetic form.
That's rather lovely, actually. Now, the second part of the manuscript is titled In Love with the Wind. It's a little different in that many of the poems are about the adventure of sailing and the change that this brings. What is it that links the two parts of the book?
By the end of the first section, I had come to recognize that I wasn't going to escape grief, that what I needed to do was accept grief and loss, and that I wasn't going to die. My breath was going to keep on going in and going out. And so there was an acceptance there and a willingness to live again and to enjoy what life had to offer. That sounds like it was in my head, but it really isn't in your head when you come to that conclusion. Your body has to feel it as well. And so at that point, I was looking forward, and I took trips to Morocco, two trips actually in the same year. I went to Mexico once, and I also went to Andalusia. And then I went sailing. And life opened in a new way, with a great deal of joy and exuberance. And my love of the natural world, of place and landscape, shifted to seascape. But there was a tremendous amount of willingness to be open and live again, which there wasn't in the first part. I was running away in the first part of the book, clearly running away. In the second part, I'm running toward.
Ah, so there are two different journeys, one down, one up, or one positive, one negative, whatever way you want to think of them.
Right, and they're both external journeys, but both internal journeys at the same time.
Absolutely. You also are an experienced facilitator and offer short afternoon or weekend workshops. First of all, what are your workshops about, and do you organize these through Loyalist, and what can a participant expect at one of these workshops?
Well, I no longer offer workshops through Loyalist. My travels interfered with my teaching, and I chose travels in the end. So I offer the workshops primarily in prose. I try to organize the workshop around the needs of the particular participants. So it just depends where their focus is. Some people want a discussion group. Some people want more of a workshop with a booklet that they can take later. What I've found over time is that a lot of people want ideas to be put out before them, but they also want time to give me ideas and to test their ideas back with me and with the group. So in those cases, I'm more a facilitator than I am a teacher.
Yeah, I think facilitator is a much better word than teacher anyway. Teacher kind of implies that you have all the knowledge and the participants have none. And it's always been my experience that it's an equal thing. I learn so much from participants as well as the person up front.
I agree completely. I learn very much from all my students.
Yeah. Would you please read to us again now? And are you going to read from the new collection, Blue, Azul Blue?
Yes. I'm going to, I'll start off with the first part. Paul, my host, insisted on taking me on safari, and I didn't want to go on safari. I really didn't want to go. And he said, you cannot come to Kenya without going on safari. And we actually went on three safaris. We went to Masai Mara, we went to Ngorongoro in Tanzania, and then we went to Amboseli, also in Kenya. So this is what my eyes beheld. On safari, my eyes beheld a Rousseau painting, where fauvist colors bounce in a jungle barely imagined, all senses of reality lost. My eyes devour exotica, take it in through each breath, each sound of bird and beast, and I became other. To introduce the next poem, I'd like to mention that journeys always have portals, bridges, gates. The gate is very, very important in my Africa poems because there actually was a blue gate, but it also was a symbolic gate that worked on two levels. The blue gate symbolizes one portal crossing crossed many times. It's called Ark of Earth. Through pre-dawn, I passed through the blue gate with its jangling chain. For the last time, the boy, with the key no longer a mystery, although now he's become heartache. At the corner, Langata Cemetery stands empty, shrouded in silence, devoid of mourners. The city, too, empty of daytime's raucous rackets. A dreamscape unfolds to a donkey's bray, a man urging it under a heavy load. I will travel north and then westward with the sun, homeward to a snowy garden, an empty chair, the fire cold, carry memories to ponder, and dreams that seek solace steeped in the tea of Africa.
That's lovely.
The second part of the book is called In Love with the Wind, and it speaks to movements from what is known to journeys into the unknown. The first poem in the collection is called Of Feathers, and it bridges the journey through grief explored in part one and the adventures that follow. Of Feathers, I want to be a red-tailed hawk, sky dancing with you one more time, to soar and dip and dive, to feel ecstasy, embrace our flight over fields of clover, a view of the bay, before we alight above the round pond, hidden by woods and naked lust of memory. And then there's a change. It's crafted by experience and time. This next poem I'll read is called Time. Morning edges to a place where slivers no longer pierce my heart, where feeling returns. It burdens me with forgotten longing to feel another's thoughts and warm body. By the end, the distance travel is clearly greater than the physical and geographic journeys. And the last poem I'll read is the last poem in the collection. It's called Air to the Sea. With sea all around, cold dark, a mere glimmer of moon and starlight occasionally break into champagne bubbles along cresting waves. Eyes scan horizon for others afloat on this rolling surface while wind fills sail and whispers in rigging, harmony for waves brushing hull. In this dark and hallowed place, I am air to the sea. I am star and salty brine, breath of wind, sky and earth. A sailboat, a monk's cell of contemplation, where silence of a sort replaces manufactured noise with a portal into self, a clandestine affair. A pilgrimage seeking loss, to become lost, within to shed the husks accumulated, to find the self at the core, residing still, the self of myth, eternal truth. And when molten amber streaks horizon's long arc, my watch complete, I crawl into my berth in the bow and curl as before in a watery womb, once more slip into a deep purple hole, the quest for now complete.
Well, thank you, Catherine. You're right about how you are moved by landscape and place and whatnot. I can see all those places and all the colors and the smells and the sounds, and it transports me.
Oh, thank you very much. This has been a real pleasure to share these poems with you.
Well, thanks for coming in today, and we look forward to the publication of that new collection. But where can listeners buy the existing books?
A Breeze You Whisper is available at Amazon. My first book is not available, and people can get in touch with me. I think that's the easiest way because I have, like most authors, a box of books in the basement. They can email White Oaks Studio, that's two S's in there, at yahoo.com.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you, Catherine. And listeners, to connect with us here at Word on the Hills, to send your comments, queries, or suggestions, please visit our website, wordonthehills.com, and leave your comments there. You'll also find all our broadcasts archived there, so you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again next week, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.